Benny.
Jake.
Welcome back. Another week.
Another week.
Another week. No footy. No. We're back again. We've managed to stick to our word.
This is actually a bit of a milestone for us. I don't think we've done a show, well, two now after the grand final on consecutive weeks.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
Yeah, look, we're absolutely working overtime in what will be, what, episode 6 of the year. it's what we do best, isn't it?
One of those big bucks. You got a story for me? What's happening?
Well, I was actually sitting here, obviously, in the work from home parameters, and I'm a little bit cagey about this one because she's in the room at the moment, and usually I like to record in solitude, but my lovely girlfriend Rach came back from a walk, and she puts her AirPods in and she goes off and she listens to, I don't know what she's listening to, but she comes back in and she's, you know, she's laughing and she's like completely in another world, which is great. Disconnect from the realities of life, absolutely. Imagine living with me to be a nightmare. But so she walks back in and she's got the biggest grin on her face. She does a few things in the kitchen. She's chuckling away. And I'm thinking, like, I was sitting here genuinely thinking, and I just thought to myself, like, she's listening to the Magoos. Like, she's...
That was your first thought.
I was in my... And I don't, like, I know it's irrational. Like, I know that it wasn't, but yeah. I just, I was sitting in my computer. It had been a longish sort of day, whatever, and, like, looking through a few things, and I was like... And, like, because she looked at me, we made eye contact, and she was still laughing, whatever, and I thought, she's actually, like, genuinely listening, and she's enjoying it. And she has been a listener in the past, you know. I'm not saying that she's hasn't supported it, but... And, you know, like, I thought, wow, she's really enjoying it. And she's like, was like really laughing. Like, was
at this point, had she actually given any inclination that it was the Magoos?
No. Well, at this point, the only thing was is that we'd locked eyes, and that she,
and that was your
time in a time where she was laughing. And I sort of thought that to you know,
like a laugh, like, and a nod.
Yeah. Like yeah, you know what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
And then, I think I said something to her a few moments later when I'd sort of forgotten that she had her headphones in, and she said, and then she like sort of poked her head around the corner and she said, "What's that, sorry?" And I said, "Oh, whatever." And she goes, "Sorry, I'm listening to Hamish and Andy. I can't hear you."
Oh, I was just gonna guess it wasn't Hamish and Andy.
and I just thought, you know, that just makes so much more sense than why would you be spending your spare time listening to the Magoos and then just laughing along, as if like there was just no way that anyone could find our content as funny as what she was yeah. She was finding that. So I must admit,
Molly's the same. I hear her giggling, and then I'll hear Hamish's nice voice just, you know, going on a long-winded story that has multiple punchlines, and I'm thinking, geez, that'd be nice. Maybe we should write some things down, write some gear down.
Maybe.
So I have no doubt that Rach still listens and you know, chuckles and says, "I see what you did there."
Maybe, you know, when she's listening, when she's got her headphones in and she's not laughing, that's when she's listening to us. So
we'll see. Well, Rach, I hear it's your birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday, and hopefully we get a giggle or two out of you this week.
I mean, I can't imagine she'll be giggling listening to this. she's always around. She allows us to have some fun, and you know, when we're able to get back together, I mean, you know, like, we have to go into silence in this 2-bedroom unit when we're recording the show, so we do have to, you know, pay our respects to both Molly and Rach, who let us
record
across the house. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Do something that we like. Now, Ben, I've heard on the grapevine, and I got several messages about this, is that you have not only taken up a new sport, but you are excelling at a new sport. And I thought, there's no possible way I can let you get away with all of a sudden becoming some sort of professional. And I believe that you are a regular on the golf course of late.
On the golf course, yeah. Wow, yeah. I thought you were going to leave the guess up to I thought Rudy might be listening anymore, but yeah, well, he's pretty good at bowls, but he's not that good at bowls. No, it's not bowls. It is golf. It is, well, if you're in Melbourne, obviously there's not much we can cling to at the moment. So golf being one thing that we are now allowed to do, which is just great. I mean, on one of the, there might be people who play it all the time who are thinking, geez, there's some pricks getting around who are just clogging up the courses left, right and centre that weren't here before. And that is one of me. That's what I am, because I can't play. I don't know who you tell. I don't know who filled you in on this, but fit a nice drive or two. But it's a wonderful and difficult. It's a humbling sport, golf, isn't it?
Really
it's,
is.
It's a very humbling sport.
It's the great equaliser, really.
Yeah, it's the Denzel of sports. Is that what you're...
No. I mean, yeah, I'm assuming that Denzel Washington is in a movie called The Equalizer. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, spot on.
Okay, no, I haven't seen any of that. As much as we like to talk about entertainment from time to time, no, I haven't seen that film. Yeah, look, it's one of those things that you play it once, and then if you happen to play it again in like the next week, you sort of be like, I've seen remarkable improvement.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like I should buy a whole set of clubs. I'm into it, and this is what I'm going to do now, and I'm competitive within myself while I'm getting exercise. It's doing a lot for me. And if I can get good at this, people will respect me.
You've just nailed everything there.
Yeah.
From start to finish.
And, like, I reckon the best run of golf I've ever had was, like, maybe three times in a – like, it's usually over summer, like, if you're not working or if, you know, you got extended daylight savings, which why daylight savings is not on all the time, Ben. I can't work it out. If anybody knows the answer, please let me know, because the fact the sun goes down at 7:30 now, longer days, more stuff to do after work, I don't get why it doesn't happen all the time. I'll write a letter to the government. But I think, yeah, when you play golf like three or four times, you might get it in like a 10-day window. And I think you've got to play golf not walking. I think you've got to get a cart.
Because that mental fatigue.
Yeah, and like it just goes forever. Like, I mean, and I play cricket, so I know about standing.
You can only play nine holes at the moment. So the walk.
Oh, okay.
But I know it. Yeah, you can only play nine because there's still limitations for how long you're allowed out of the house, but they know it. Yeah. I'm pushing those limits even with the nine holes. Don't worry about that.
You're walking zigzags across the fairways anyway.
Yeah, there's some big fairways out there too. Out at Yarrambat, which you know isn't the the nicest course in the world, but it's a good training ground and it's big fairway.
It's a great beginner's sort of course. It makes you feel okay about yourself because of the wide, I was going to say landing strip. I'm not going to say that.
Fairways.
The wide fairways. And yeah, I was just trying to use a little bit of, you know, like cool golf lingo to win the people over, but that wasn't it. Landing strip.
So when you take off at the first.
The runway. Yeah. You know, you want to get the runway and, you know, keep going, but,
it's been a good way to see a couple of friends as well at the moment. You really are killing two birds, more than two birds, because you can have a beer or two as long as you get your mask on, I guess.
It's probably nine holes of golf with a couple of mates is actually probably exactly what the doctors ordered for the times we're in at the moment, because it is that, you know, 2 hours, you know, you can, it depends who you're playing with, whether or not, you know, you're counting every little stroke and, you know, you get the measuring tapes out and all those sort of things, depending on what sort of a bloke you're playing with. But I just think that, yeah, that's probably, that actually sounds really good, actually. So you've been hitting them regularly, hitting them all right, or what?
Well, I've only played the one, but I've gone to the driving range a couple of times too. But
have a couple in the
works for this weekend. So I'm going to basically play three rounds of nine and two driving ranges. Three
rounds of
nine holes, like within a week and a half or so. So by that third, I'm hoping that I'm in that bracket you're talking about. It's like, hang on a minute. I'm actually okay at this.
Yeah.
Or at least respectable to the amount where, so like we're both quite professional young gentlemen. You know, we have our professional careers and there are groups of people at some workplaces. I don't know about yours. There's definitely one at mine. There's like a sort of golf group and
Is
older.
Is it quite exclusive?
It's not that it's exclusive. It's inclusive. Like, anyone's welcome.
Okay.
The caliber of golfers there is at a point where I don't want to play with them until I've worked.
Then it's exclusive. That's the thing. That's how they get it. They say anyone can come and play with us, and then after 2 hours,
but watch, but here's a free lesson for you.
Yeah. You're 150 meters behind them. Like, we're just going to play ahead with the group in front. You can just keep playing ice hockey on the, trying to keep the ball going. Like,
I do feel like that's in people's heads though. Like, the best golfers I've played with are ones who are happy to give me tips and happy to help and that sort of thing. So
the worst golfers I've played with are people who are maybe slightly better than you, if not.
Yes.
And then they give you the tip. All right, mate, no one missed you. Spray that ball into the water before. And then you're like, if you just change your grip just a little bit, you'll be right. You'll just be able to, how about you go put your gum boots on and fish your ball out of the drink and then give you some tips.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, I think that being in a group with a really, really good golfer, and I think you get that on like golf days and things like that, like when there's like one pro potentially or whatever it might be, it's just one of those like great divides. And it's a conversation that I've had with a good mate of mine a fair bit, and I know he loves the show, so hopefully Tux is listening. But he reckons that, and he's a pretty good golfer, he's a very good golfer, but he reckons that if you had 1 year, which Olympic sport would you choose to become Olympic standard at? And he reckons that, so he's a good golfer, and he reckons that if he could practice for 365 days, get the coach and get the resources, that he would become Olympic standard in golf.
Really?
And I mean, that's the sport he chose from the Olympics. Whereas, I don't know where I'd go. I'd probably just go like in the handball team or something. And
I'd go on the committee and try and get lawn bowls an actual sport in there firstly, and then play that for NCC.
Lawn bowls would be com games, wouldn't it?
It is com games, yeah.
If America and that don't play it, then it's never going to get into the Olympics. So.
Yeah, but 100%. But like the golf, I could wholeheartedly still say that give me 365 days with all the resources, everything I want, that I'm not going to be up there still. Like, everyone in the world plays it. And just those not even 1%, like you'd say a fraction of a percent differences is the difference between a top 100 player and a top, 10,000 player in the world.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I'm glad to see you're out there. So you'll have to report back.
I will. I'll report back next week because I've got two rounds coming up. So we'll see how we go.
I like it. Hi there. This is Ben. You might remember me from the Magoos, which you're currently listening to. I'm the other guy. There's Jake and then there's Ben. I'm Ben. I actually just wanted to let everyone know that we had a great offer for you guys. If you're aware of the Carlton Draft, not the famous beverage, although they're pretty good too, but the boys at Carlton Draft who create and design lots of football merchandise. So footballers, you would have seen them on Instagram, Facebook, that sort of thing, quite a following. Their website is carltondraftshirts.com. Carlton Draft, D-R-A-F-T, draft, shirts.com. If you use the code Magoos at checkout, you'll receive 15% off. I think it was 15%. Could have been 10. It's 10 or 15%. I'm not sure which one it is. I think I got 15% off, but who knows if they're like, if depending on what you buy, like if you buy some sort of, if you buy a Collingwood merch, that might come through to them and they think, oh, no, 8% for you. But then for me, I've got 15% off because I bought an Essendon jumper recently with Sam Draper on it. It's fantastic. I think it's 15%. Anyway, Magoos at checkout, MAGOOS. Back to the show.
Now, Ben, we do sometimes on this show, we like to keep it pretty lighthearted. We like to, try and entertain, if that's even the right word. But we've sort of seen something, and obviously a very important time of year coming up in my world, and as we found out, your world as well, is November. And so I was really interested during the week, and it's it's been incredible to see. Obviously, we know Sam Doherty is going through chemotherapy for a second testicular cancer diagnosis. Yep. And in my work, in, as you said, we've got professional lives outside of this podcast, which would be hard to believe, I'm sure. But, you know, I work for Movember and I get to speak a lot to community groups and schools and all that sort of stuff around mental and physical health in men and young men and stuff. So I'm very lucky to do that, and knowing Movember's coming, and you know, the Carlton boys, they're all shaving their heads and they've got the community involved, and they've raised, I'm not sure exactly where it sits, I know they had about $42,000 for the Peter MacCallum Institute last night, which is absolutely incredible in about 48 hours. And the photo of Sam Doherty, he's obviously either had his treatment or is sort of going through it and has sort of, I guess, preemptively shaved his head and his beard. So I think he might be mid-treatment, and I think he's sort of coming to the back end of that. And I don't want to speak out of school about that. And we're not going to, you know, go too far into the weeds of that, because it's not really our story to tell. We might look some stage down the track of hopefully getting someone on to sort of speak to it a little bit more. But I guess through that image, when I saw it last night, I thought, like, I know so much of this stuff. I speak to people who have gone through it, you know, physical and mental health and all that sort of stuff. And I think to see someone like Sam Doherty, who is the same age as me and you, you know, in that very similar sort of bracket of late 20s now, unfortunately we have to say late 20s, we're not mid-20s anymore, but and seeing this guy who, you know, I think is, you know, like, he's living the dream in the sense of, you know, playing for Carlton, and he was a Carlton supporter as a kid, and he's, you know, growing up, and like to see someone who you view in that light, and then, you know, going through the effects of cancer treatment, it was a really confronting image, and it's going to help so many people. And I think for him to be so open in, you know, he obviously, as at the time when he was dealing with the diagnosis and whatever, has requested privacy, and he's sort of going through this, and I think it sort of sits out of people's minds a little bit. And then the fact that they've been able to raise almost $50,000 for the Peter MacCallum Cancer Institute is absolutely incredible. But it obviously got us thinking. We know that Movember's coming up, and one of Movember's key cause areas is testicular cancer, and obviously, you know, we always encourage everyone to, you know, as well as the mental health and prostate cancer side of Movember as well, like, we always encourage people to be having open and honest conversations with one another. We're lucky we get to check in with each other once a week, and we you know, we're on Messenger every second day and all those sort of things. And I think we both feel like we've got pretty good support networks around us, but that isn't the case for everyone. And and, you know, we did obviously, you know, our DMs are always open, and you know, we're both manning them pretty regularly, and if anyone did want to have that conversation. But you had the idea with Movember coming up and to, I guess, start this, the Magoos Movember fundraising team. And we know that we've got a really strong community pull, and it's not, so what we're looking at doing is not necessarily, you know, like breaking the bank and raising all this money, which obviously any money that can get donated to that team would be amazing. We've got your mug up there on the team page. So if you head to movember.com and search the Magoos, you'll see our little logo there and Ben's face. So I'm in a different fundraising team with my Creek Club. But talk us through your idea of the Magoos marketplace, Ben, and how people can get involved and how people can join and grow a mow and join our team as well.
Yeah, well, firstly, that was really, really well said, Jake, particularly off the cuff too. So it was really well put. Nice spin on it. So good on you for that. You work there, you have for a while. We both like growing our mows and our beards, just, you know, mainly for myself, is because I'm a bit lazy more than anything. I'm definitely due for a trim at the moment. But we've also been speaking about, you know, what kind of segment ideas we're going to be coming up with at the moment. And I did have this segment idea to come to you as well, but I thought we could probably roll these two together. So I thought, yeah, Magoos Marketplace. So every now and then I'm on Facebook Marketplace and I'm searching for some secondhand golf gear, actually, mainly. But sometimes you click on one football memorabilia thing or something, you know, something to do with the footy or sporting world, and then you just get the next time you log in, you'll just get all of this, you know, algorithm of just shit, just absolute shit memorabilia that
you know, Dave from bloody Park Orchards is selling for $5 or, you know, something along those lines. So I thought it'd be funny if we went out there and, you know, we purchased something that was footy related or sport related and popped it up on our socials and you know, we could potentially start like a little bidding war, like, you know, nothing serious, $5, $10, just to make it a little bit more fun with the Magoo. So, yeah, so I think we should have an actual November for the Magoo's team. So anyone who listens to the Magoo's and you've, you know, contemplated it, but you don't want to do it by yourself, well, I'm happy to sort of, you know, lead the front there. So any listeners who, you know, feel like they want to just grow a mustache in November, then you can sign up to as you said, if you search the Magoo's on Movember.com, and you can join in our team and any donations, as you said, but just on the other side of the marketplace thing, if we could do that on one side of things, but if yourself has potentially something, some old memorabilia or some old something football related that you don't use, you probably were going to turf it the next, you know, something or other, but if you want to donate that, and we could probably sell that on your behalf, so some sort of, you know, yeah, Magoo's memorabilia, yeah, even something that's worth $2, it'd be a bit of fun. We can talk about the backstory of it, get some bidding wars going, and yeah, raise some money.
I like it. It's very, very good. And I think that, you know, like, we can lean into what this show is about in that sense, in terms of, you know, it might only be a $10 donation, but out of that you're going to get, you know, an old signed picture of Clive Waterhouse from the Dockers or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of an ilk of thing that
everyone
seemingly, you know, like, my brain's already, so I moved house a couple of months ago, and like some of the old carton stuff I found, like, my mind's starting to tick through.
Oh, and so if you had stuff on the poncho you had from 97, 98.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're sitting on gold there. But I think that if anybody wants to donate things to us, then absolutely we'd be happy to take them off your hands. But if you do see something, even just on Marketplace, that you think would be perfect, make sure you send it to us. That Movember team is live now, so if you are an individual out there who is a friend of the show, and it for guys and girls as well, you know, it doesn't have to be grow and mow. There's a physical activity challenge to move 60 kilometers across the month. As well, and that is for the 60 men we lose each hour, every hour around the world to suicide.
How does one track that, by the way?
You can launch your Garmin watch, which I've just tapped there. Yep, you can get that linked straight to your page, or you can add them in manually if you don't have that sort of tech. But yeah, the link will be in our Instagram bio in the show notes as well. We'll be able to link straight to that Magoo's team. So yeah, if you want to jump in and get around Benny, who will be growing in that team as well, raising a bit of money, and then yeah, if you've got any stuff alongside you, then and any old footy stuff that you would like us to either get rid of in a little bit of a garage sale, but raise a bit of money for it as well. I've got this absolutely perfect, I think I've got two of them actually. It's a like an old laminated Anthony Koutafidis poster that I found, and it's like all time. It's like the most like 90s sort of, early 2000s. It's like called Ice Cool but Red Hot or something, and it's like got Kuda like just tearing away from a pack. But yeah, it could be anything, because, you know, hopefully everyone can get in the spirit, and we can, even if it means that, you know, you might get more footy memorabilia at your house, that can only be a good thing.
So, well, speaking of Kuda, I've still got the signed frame Kuda, that photo.
Of course,
that is yours. It says to Jake, all the best.
When he came to Studio A,
one of the most pixelated photos of Kuda you've probably ever seen in your life.
Now, Ben, we're just going to take a breath. We've obviously spoken about, you know, some plans and had a bit of a laugh, but we put a call out for some segments last week, and one just presented itself to us on an absolute silver platter. And after a quick little break here, we're going to chat to one of the most loyal Magoo's listeners that we've ever come across. And he's just trying to weasel his way into the big time. So before he does that, he has to go through us, and we're wrapped to be speaking to Lucas just after this.
The Magoo's.
Benny, we've teased it before our little break there, and what we've been trying to do on this show for a very long time is gain some momentum. And I feel like indirectly we might be able to latch on to a little bandwagon here. A good friend of the show, Big Luco, as he's affectionately known, is a good Carlton man, which we will touch on. But last week, out of the blue, he's pretty active on Twitter, and we do like some of his work, but he's just gone seemingly a random thought at 6:25 p.m. on the 3rd of October the other night. He's just gone, you know what, I'm tweeting Hutchie directly here, and he gives us the old...
Hutchie, Buddy Hutchison.
He said... The boss of footy sports media in Australia. He's gone, I'm going straight to the source, and he's given it the... This is not a question. He hasn't asked him for a question. I thought he's given him the... There is a space for SEN to do a wrestling podcast on the app once a week. There's nothing hotter in the States right now.
Oh.
And so he's just gone and said, look, you can do all your business analysis you want, your SWOT, all that sort of stuff. I'm telling you, this has to happen.
I feel like I know where this is going now. Hutchie
then just goes, you know, a man that we've been trying to impress indirectly for a long time, just hoping that he sort of comes across, you know, come across his desk somehow, just gives it the old quote tweet, count me in.
Count me in, says Hutchie from Craig Hutchison.
That's all he said. He said,
count me in.
Yeah, Big Luco and Hutch, or Big Hutch and Big Luco, whichever way you want to go about it.
Triple Hutch and Big Luco.
And so, I mean, you and I, Ben, you know, we've known Luco for a long time, and he's been on this show many times to talk about the trials and the tribulations of being a Carlton fan. So just before he, you know, ascends too far and just leaves us in his lurch, we thought, well, Luco, you know, you're one of ours. You can't be going off and just joining the
Big Leagues. Hold your horses. You think you're going straight directly to the ends.
If you want to, you know, all of a sudden make it in this business, you've got to run it by us.
You've got to go by us. I like this. Is this the segment?
And so the test run, you know, you need to give us some of your best content, because this set Twitter and certain sections of Twitter into absolute, you know, Hutchie, got 61 likes, 3 retweets and 16 replies to his initial tweet, which then branched off everywhere, wrestling fans all over the place. So, Luco, talk us through your brainchild, and how far down the road are you and Hutchie with planning this podcast? Give us your best material.
Well, I feel like Hutchie's going to take it and run and leave me for dark, but we can always go back to the main tweet that if this does get off, then I started the movement.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll take a lot of pride in that. But
but
there's a lot of closet WWE or pro wrestling. It's not just WWE. There's AEW now. Fans out there. And there's a niche in the market. There's a lot. If you look at all the podcasts and that in America, they have a 3-hour show every day called Busted Open Radio. Three hours every single day. Just pure wrestling. When you think about the NBA, hockey, baseball, all that over there. They can fit 3 hours on radio wrestling there. There's a lot of Australian fans, not just Melbourne, but everywhere. All the shows that I've been to, they sell out all the time. But there's never an Australian, market that have been brave enough to go after the wrestling sector. Mm. And Archie's, and I'm obviously a bit of an SEN nuffy, and I listen to it a lot. And I've been catching on that there's guys that work behind the scenes pushing buttons and that drop in wrestling references all the time. Jared Waitley loves wrestling. Hutchie loves wrestling. I've just found that out over Twitter and just observing. But, you know, when push comes to shove, no one's got the balls to actually pull the trigger on it.
I see what you so you've done a bit of deep diving in here. You've picked up that there's a few obscure references from some of the producers and the big shots, and you've put two and two together, and you know, actually, there is a market here.
Well, the only two that don't really get into it is Gary and Tim, and I called them out on Brekkie one morning because I'm kind of a bag wrestling fan, so I called them out.
Did you call them, like, on the show?
Yeah, I called up. They asked, like, you know, what old males to watch wrestling, and I called them, and I gave them the old, you know, what TV series do you watch? It's scripted. You like it. There's drama. There's romance. There's all that. You get all that in WWE as well, fellas. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Everything is kayfabe. I've said it before on the show. It's season one.
Everything. It's a very solid point too. It's a very solid point. So, Luca, you know, we've got the idea. The idea is solid where you think there's a gap in the market where you do, and we're just absolutely tacking on. But so give us some of the content that we could expect. If Hutchie knocks on your door next week and says, or knocks on what looks like Harry Potter's little underneath the stairs. Yeah, there,
speaking of closet, are we in a little closet? What's going on? Are we under some stairs? Where are you?
Well, yeah, just because I reckon that's not a – I don't think it's a live radio thing that you should do in Australia. I don't think it's that big yet, but because it's a podcast, you can get a bit creative with your, you know, wrestling Mount Rushmores and your, you know, weekly winner, what show is the best show of the week, and, you know, who, just those, you got to get different people from different eras, I think. Like some old guys like Hutchie that watched it, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan. I don't like Hulk Hogan. I reckon he's overrated. But they probably go to me, John Cena's no good. And then that's where we blew a bit on the radio, you know, on the podcast.
Stuff you're already like that. Starting to plant the friction in between the two.
There's so many, that's the thing with wrestling, there's so much that you can talk about. Just a 1 hour podcast a week, it's crazy how much you can get out of it, you know. There's endless things that you could bring up and get creative. And another good friend of the show, Daniel O'Kelly, he's one that he's a media performer as well. If you put me and him on SCN as a podcast for wrestling, I know Hutchie would never do it, but I tell you what, we'd make him some money.
So what we're gathering up here is that before you two go and do your podcast on SCN, you have your trial run on the Magoos, you do maybe 10 minutes, the two of you. We might, Jake and I might, you know, facilitate it, just sort of egg it on.
Just take the night off.
You might that'd be nice. We took about 9 months off. So,
wrestling fans, you reckon you got on the Magoos?
Oh, I've no idea. You said they're all closet. So,
okay, I'm not as interesting as I was probably 3 or 4 years ago now, and the landscape's changing a little bit. And take us through, in terms of some analysis, the WWE versus the AEW situation at the moment. You know, we see a lot of big names signing across. Has the balance shifted where it's, if not 50-50 between the two companies, now potentially even tipping one way, which is now AEW's way away from that traditional WWE brand?
Yeah, well, AEW is the biggest competition in the last 20 years. There's no doubt about that. They're getting a 1.2 sort of rating a week, where SmackDown's probably getting 2 mil, but that's like Roman Reigns on Fox on prime time. But AEW's crowd, they look at like the demo, which is like maybe 18 to 40-year-olds who are watching, and that's what their crowd is at. So it's like other podcasts that I listen to, they describe it as going to a rock concert. So there's not one kid in the crowd. So their product is purely for guys like my age. That's like Attitude Era. So they're just doing like, when you're going in there, you're on your feet the whole time. There's always like, it's just so quick. There's so much action in there and it's all going. Where Raw is like catered to like families and stuff, a bit more PG, and they get like maybe one or two segments might be a little bit like AEW, but the other show is a bit more sports entertainment. Where this is just pro wrestling. This is like, you can say sort of what you want. The promos aren't scripted. It's sort of like the wrestlers being themselves. So that's why if you're not getting an opportunity in WWE, you go to AEW, and guys like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, Adam Cole, they would never, ever have gone to a different company before like they started this promotion. And now that it's taking off and they're selling out 20,000 stadiums over there, 20,000 people in a stadium, sorry, over there. That's just crazy.
Mm.
For a live crowd, week-to-week show, not even a pay-per-view, that's just nuts. So now, like, even ESPN and mainstream media are getting onto both of the companies, and it's never been – I've never seen it on social media the way that it's spoken about. Like, UFC fighters talk about it, NBA, gridiron, you know, NFL players. It's just – it's going nuts. Like, and if someone like Hutchie, who has got the power to actually make something happen, not with me and Oaks, but with actually, like, he could get – American correspondents to come into his SCN and do it, he would be so surprised how much people are actually tuning in.
So, I mean, I'm hooked. Sign me up.
Yeah, you've sold me.
what I'm now thinking, you've got your John Cena shirt on there, Luco. So John Cena, you know, in during his halcyon days, he had the C Nation. He had everyone around him, whatever. So now that you've got this idea, this brand, what are we calling your droves of followers that are clearly going to come to the party here? Luco's Army, where are we sort of going with that? That is going to be really clear that needs to be done and done well, like the Beliebers, those sort of people. Now that you've got this thing building and you've got the attention of the biggest media wig in the country, I reckon that might be your homework potentially to go away and think of.
I reckon that's going to be homework.
Thinking what you might come back with.
I like Luco's Army, though. That's I've never had more than one or two people get behind me before, so half an army would be nice. But
one of the great local footy coaches. Inspiring the masses, you are. Don't worry about that. Although to have an army would be nice. I mean, that's a fair call.
What about if it's podcast format? You can't hear me.
Ooh. I like that, Bob.
Hey, you don't mind that?
I like that, Bob.
I know my wrestling.
Bob, you begged me all through high school about watching wrestling.
Well, in my defense, you flew to New Orleans for 7 days just to go to a wrestling concert and came back.
See, Hutchie needs to know that as well. I've got to be one. Me and Oak's got to be one of the only two people that have planned a whole holiday to America just to go and see WrestleMania.
You went to the home of jazz, Bourbon Street, and you didn't see one little dingy bar. You flew in, flew out job.
Yeah, and then we'd just go back to the hotel room, have a couple of beers, get a pizza and watch more wrestling.
Do what you love.
I love it. I love the
unapologetic. And I somehow still have my girlfriend 8 years later.
Well, I think that's the real, that deserves a round of applause.
It's a huge win, yeah. And he just had to slide that in there. I don't just sit and watch wrestling all day. I've got a wife and someone who loves me. So,
yeah.
Luco, we couldn't get you on the show without just discussing a little bit of Carlton stuff.
You can
go on mute, Ben.
I'll mute myself, yeah.
And we don't want to drag it out too much, but as we speak tonight, Carlton have seemingly done all they'll do in the trade period from a major sense. It looks like Adam Chera's been traded in, Petrevsky Seaton out, and they've required Lewis Young from the Bulldogs. What's your gut feel on their players?
At the moment? Michael Vossi, if people haven't, obviously.
I'll go Vossi first. We've been through this a lot, Jake, but getting his email yesterday is a bit like Bop when we were in year eight and you had a pash of a girl on the dance floor, you fell in love with her straight away.
Are you saying I specifically did this?
No, me. That butterflies when I was, watching him yesterday. It just seems the mould for some reason, but with SBS, I don't like to see him go, Jake. But me and my man were speaking about this before. If you did a redraft right now, he was pick 5 back then. But if he was going into the draft right now and you didn't know his age, I reckon he'd be around the 40-50 mark for what he's shown at AFL level. So I'm not 100%. I was pretty sad to see him go because you never want to see a top 5 pick just walk out the door for pick 50. But I think we'll be better off. Well, if he couldn't get a game in the team that we're fielding this year, then really, he's got to have a good hard look at himself to get a game at West Coast. So, but Adam Chera, at first I was a bit nervous, definitely, because of our last year's trade period, paying Zach Williams what we paid him. But I still think Zach will, he'll earn his paycheck. Pretty much my opinion on Carlton at the moment is the club has done everything they possibly could to set us up to succeed. Now it's up to the players to actually earn their paychecks and, and step up like Melbourne players have in future.
I love it. And yeah. I couldn't agree more. I reckon we might be onto a sneaky one here, the Blues fans, but I'm happy to just...
Even as an Essendon supporter, you can't fault their last month. It's been even from the board down, it's been professional. And there's clearly even just a big difference there, just the way that they've sort of operated. So... watch this space. Who knows?
And I don't know what Lewis Young would bring, but any when we had Jack Silvani going in the ruck, any tall stocks will be handy for us.
Yeah, you can't be doing that to young kids either who aren't ruckmen.
And I'm happy with Hewitt. He had 13 tackles in a really hard final against GWS as a hard gut running bloke who can use the footy. So, you know,
he's a gun. I reckon that's gone under the radar. That
4 years is a big risk, but we've really put all of our eggs in this basket for the list that we have right now. And we've got the coaches. There's no more excuses, really.
Yeah.
I'm not saying top four, but we should be. If we're I'll let Jack do those predictions.
Strap yourself in, Blues fans. We're going to the top.
Yeah, I couldn't be happier, to be honest.
Well, Lucas, you couldn't be happier. You're a Carlton supporter there on the app. You're a big WWE fan. You better get your own show on SEN. You may be in your dad's closet right now in his study. But that doesn't mean you ain't kicking goals, mate. Thank you very much for coming on the Magoos. You're always welcome. And hopefully in a couple of weeks, we might get you and Daniel in here and actually run a little segment.
Nah, he'd love that. Oaks will take over. That's his element, you know. If we were ever to do something, it'd be the Oaks show and just look on the background. he's the man, Dan. But thanks, boys. You're doing great stuff. And, yeah, love your work.
The Magoos.
G'day guys, it's Jake here from the podcast. I know that Ben's been throwing in these little ads, so I thought that I'd not an ad, but do a little bit on my own too without him getting involved. So off the back of our conversation around mental health, prostate cancer, testicular cancer as well, we just wanted to throw a little bit of a piece in here just to make sure that if you aren't doing okay and you feel like you need further support and want to further the conversation, then Lifeline's available on 13 11 14. There is a whole range of resources at movember.com/get support if you do want to further the conversation. And if you just want to have a chat, as we said, our DMs are always open on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you want to go, at the Magoos _, and we'll be there to chat. So thanks for listening, and we can't wait to catch up with you soon.
The Magoos. The Magoos.
I'm in me, hey, Bopper, I'm in my old man's study, by the way, so it's a bit weird than that.
No, I love it. I love it. I might use that as the clip. I'm in the old man's study, by the way, so go easy on me. This just in, WWE supporter in his old man's study.
Yeah, what a surprise.
So true.
The Magoos. The Magoos.